is the day which the Lord has made. We will We're awake. We can move on. I love that. I love that. Oh, man. Today's scripture reading is out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. And it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Paul is reminding in that scripture, he's reminding the readers and us of our prior life. It was in darkness. But he also reminds us of our current life, which is in light. And he tells us to walk in that light. Now turn in your Bibles to Jude, the book of Jude. That's where we'll be the rest of today. But I want us to remember what we just read, that we once were darkness, now our current life is light, and that he asked us to walk in that. But he was reminding us of that. As a matter of fact, while you're turning there. Okay. I just want to check. Yeah, he was just reminding us of where we were. And there's a few different scriptures throughout the New Testament. It says, you were once in darkness, now you're in light. Once you didn't know, now you do know. Once you hadn't heard, but now you have heard. And they're constant reminders. Well, Jude is the next to last book in the Bible. It's right before the book of Revelation. And I'm fascinated by what he writes in here for a couple reasons. As we're getting ready to read this, I want us to also focus, as we talked about having more in 24, we've got to do certain things. We talked about sacrificing. We read about sacrificing. It tells us, hey, we've got to sacrifice our pride to humble ourselves before him. There was something I wanted to read, sorry, back where I was in Ephesians. You don't have to turn there, stay where you are. But Ephesians 1, the very beginning of that chapter, it said, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given him for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." I read that a couple weeks ago. And I thought, here we are just a couple verses later in that thing, and he's reminding us, you were once in darkness. But now he's reminding us, or telling us, also be imitators, or duplicators, if you will. Be ambassadors, be representatives of God. Be imitators of him. So we've gone through a lot of books in the New Testament after that point. And then we come to Jude. And Jude starts out this way. And he says, Jude, this is a letter he's writing. Says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just stop there. If we want to have more in 24, and we want to have this awakening, we can go back to Ephesians, what we just read, And it said you've got to walk, you've got to behave, and you've got to sacrifice to be imitators. We have to walk a certain way, behave a certain way, and sacrifice certain things. I said a couple weeks ago, you know, when our character is the same outside of church, outside of the home, inside of the home, outside of work, inside of work, when the character is the same, the scriptures say all that stuff will stand for you when others try and bring things against you. So we've got to model that in every aspect of our life, our walking, our behaving, and our sacrificing. And I thought, we can't expect more by giving less. We can't be more by doing less. We can't grow more by studying less. And we can't want more by being less. We have to do things. We have things that we have to do on our side in order to get the benefit of that. When you go to the gym, it breaks down your muscles in order to build muscles. There's times that we're going to feel like, Lord, I'm breaking down here. And He says, man, I am just building you up. I am strengthening you. Because remember, we just read in 1 Corinthians 11, many are weak and sick among you and many sleep. He says, I'm just beginning to strengthen you by breaking you down. And you allowing yourself to be broken down is the beginning of your strengthening. Now it starts out, and I thought, very interesting. Jude is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And he's the brother of James. But who else is Jude? What else is he? He's Jesus' half-brother. And he didn't start out by saying, I, Jude, brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He said, no, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ, my brother. He didn't say that, but it is his brother. He says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus. Oh, by the way, I'm the brother of James. You know, your Bible and studying, connect those dots. He's Jesus' half-brother, but he doesn't call that out. Because who he is today is in light. So he knows, I once was in darkness, I was Jesus' brother. But now I walk in light. Oh, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. We have to take where we are and say, where was I and where am I now? Is that enough? I brought a little birthday candle to the pitch black darkness. Is that enough? Well, I may have to study and find out, how can I bring more light to the party? How can I be more for Jesus? Then it says, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love. It doesn't say be added to you. It says be multiplied to you. Adding, I could take and, you know, add one at a time, and it just takes longer and probably would grow weary. But when you multiply things, there's a greater growth when things are multiplied versus added to one by one. He says, may these things be multiplied to you, not simply added to you. I want you to have peace. No, I want it to be multiplied in your life. I want peace to be multiplied in your life, mercy, and I want love to be multiplied in your life. I don't understand how Christians, with all the love that has been shown them, how they can be such unloving people sometimes. And I think, oh my gosh, I won't go down that path. He shows us love. He shares love with us. We've all probably had experiences with people that, you know, that we've heard of or we've seen or thought, those people are real mean. And I talk to them and then I try and call someone back sometimes. I'm not talking about the church body here. I'm talking about in our lives and our experiences. And you call somebody back that you don't know and you leave them a message. And they're like, God bless you. That's the same person that was just yelling and cussing at me the day before.
or their email. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. They're like, he's trying to bring you through it, but you're yelling at me and carrying on like this. We've got to let all those things and all the bumper stickers on the back of our car line up with the way we're driving. Remember, I've struggled with that. Okay. Whew. One day you think you're making progress, the next day you realize, not making as much progress as I thought or whatever. But we've got to be able to examine ourselves truthfully. And he says, may these things be multiplied to you. But then verse 3, he says, here's the reason I'm contacting you all. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, hey guys, I was going to write you this letter, I found it necessary to change all that. He says, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And then he tells why he changed that, why he had to change his letter. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a letter I'm going to write, and I was going to talk about our common salvation, but all of a sudden, oh no, something's different. Now, this is after Jesus is gone. This is the first century. And he says, I've got to find out what's going on with the church. Now I've got to tell these people about that. But I'm going to start the letter and remind them who I am. Remind them of who I am. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now you know James. I'm the brother of James. It's his humility, his position of humility to not say, I'm full of pride. Now, most or all of you know I used to work somewhere else before this recent journey, and a name well known, and that person had some children that had a different name. And there were two sons, and I think about that when I read this. One son went to buy a new car and said, hey, I'm so-and-so, I work here. Okay, just doing it on his own. The other one went and said, I'm so-and-so, I'm so-and-so's son. I'm Jesus' brother, basically. And I'm here to buy a car. And he had to stand on that name recognition and attach himself. And there was no humility there. And I thought, one person just says, hey, this is who I am. I don't need to connect myself to any other name. The other one said, oh, I've got to find some value or some worth. So I'm connecting my name saying I am the son of. But Jude doesn't do that. He knows who and what he is in Christ. Matter of fact, he says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I don't need to tell you I'm Jesus' brother. I'm coming to you from a different aspect, and I don't need any favors by saying that. I'm just writing to you because I used to be in darkness. Now I'm in light. I was going to write you about our common salvation, but I found something different. Now it says, I want you to contend earnestly. And I thought, it's easy to stand up here and just go right past that. But what does it mean to contend? Thank you. It means to fight. Engage in a campaign to win. Oh, I'm glad you said that. Today's message title, Fight for the Faith. Contend means to fight. We've got a top contender. We've got a top fighter. And he says, I want you to contend earnestly. I want you to engage in a campaign to win. I want you to fight. Oh, he says, I want you to fight earnestly. What does that mean? With sincere and intense conviction. He's imploring these guys. Guys, I'm telling you, I need you to fight. With great conviction for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Uh-oh. Now we've got people creeping in. And he says, they're ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says this, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, You catching that?
I want to remind you, even though you already knew this, church, we've got to remind ourselves of these things constantly by the renewing of the mind daily. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And he says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and they speak evil of dignitaries.
They defy authority. We have so many people defying authority in this day and age. But guess what? It's nothing new. They were defying authority back then. Do you think it's still relevant today? Absolutely. Jude's letter was important in the first century because of what was going on in the church. We're 2,000 years later in the 21st century. Do you think this letter is just as important for the church? Absolutely.
Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them."
That's his warning. Woe to them.
"For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily into the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah."
He's warning the current church, saying these people are sneaking in. Now he says these people are ungodly. But the thing is, they're not hated people. Let me go back. "For certain men have crept in unnoticed." More than likely, likable people. They're unnoticed. Nobody saw these guys creeping in because people like them. But they're ungodly people. And they pervert the truth. And they pervert God's grace and His mercy.
Now in verse 12 it says, These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. There are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
And I thought, he's going to town with who these people are.
Verse 14, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them and all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Well, he's lining out the ungodly in their acts, for sure.
He says, to convict all who are ungodly, their ungodly deeds, their ungodly ways, and the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He says, these people have snuck into the church.
They're not out there waving signs outside of the church or in town. They're inside of the church. He said, this is why I had to change the letter writing. I found it necessary to write to you regarding this, to fight with conviction for the faith. I was going to write you about this, but there's a crisis in the church. Ungodly people have come in, and I'm not talking about people that don't know Christ. I'm talking about people that have come in and snuck in. People have snuck in. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. They're ungodly. They have ungodly ways. They speak ungodly. And they've spoken against Him. Now let's be careful. Verse 16. As we press on and read about that. It said, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They don't have anything nice to say, but they do flatter certain people so they can grab, so they can gain their trust or get them, gain their support. Flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me stop there again. As we're reading this, think how many times we've already seen the word remember, or you may have forgotten, or I want to remind you, or however it's phrased in it. Same thing here. But you, beloved, remember the words. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. These are people causing divisions. These aren't people simply asking questions, but a lot of times they're taking a section of the Bible, they're ripping it out and saying, I'm going to hang on to this, and this is all I'm going to listen to. Or maybe just as bad, they grab that section of the Bible and said, this isn't of any value to me. It goes against who I am and what I believe. And it goes against what I stand for. I don't know if we stand for Christ if we get to stand there and say, I stand for my own convictions other than that. I don't believe I can say I stand for Christ, but by the way, I'm going to do what I want over here. I'm going to say what I want over here. I'm going to behave in a manner that doesn't line up with that over here. Oh, hang on. Let me get back in the pulpit. But when I'm here, I'm going to stand for Christ. But outside of this circle, I'm going to be Adam. And I'm going to do what I want. We don't get to do that. You see, the songs we sang talk to that. It says we've got to give our all. Our entire selves. And by the way, we've got to fight for our faith. And people that try and dilute it, we've got to stop them. Now, there's nothing wrong with simplifying what something says, but not simplifying for the sake of making it fit my circumstances. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. I want the Spirit to be in this place. We invite the Spirit to be in this place. And I remember one of our past elders said, you don't need to invite the Spirit. They're already here. The Spirit is already here. I get that. You may already be in my home, but I want you to feel like you were invited there and you're welcome there also. And that's all I meant is I want that Spirit to fill this room. And I want that Spirit to be welcome here and accepted here and acknowledged here. Now, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Excuse me, it says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. This scripture right here, it gives us opportunity, starting in verse 20. It says, build. Build yourselves up on what? Your most holy faith. It says, build. And then it says, pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And it says, keep. Keep what? Keep yourself in love, in the love of God. Church, we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. I love that song we sing, there's no place I'd rather be than here in your love. And then it says, look. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We've got to build. We've got to pray. We've got to keep. And we've got to look. All these aspects of our faith, when we fight for the faith, build, pray, keep, and look. It says in verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. First of all, we just read an entire book of the Bible. Do you feel accomplished? You know, some of us haven't done that before. But it takes just sitting down and doing it. If we want more in 24, we have to fight. And today, Jude's letter reminds us we have to fight for our faith. I was going to write to you concerning our common salvation, but I found it necessary to write you, to exhort you to fight with conviction for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He says, I want you to fight, to contend earnestly, not just, let's just have a little jostle there. No, I want you to fight with conviction. I don't know what you all fight for, but I'm telling you, this is the thing that God wants to see you fight for. He says, I want you fighting for your faith. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to just fight for your faith against those that are creeping in unnoticed. But he says, fight for your faith in who and what you are to grow in that faith as well. When we fight, what are we fighting for? I'm fighting for my woman's honor, you know, whatever it is. He says, man, I want you to fight for my honor. As we continue looking at a season of sacrifice, you may have to sacrifice something to get in a fight. Please don't go out and get in a fight saying, Adam told me to fight someone. I'm telling you to fight for your faith. But when I'm telling you that,
I'm telling you that from Jesus. I'm telling you that from Jude, who said, hey, I want you guys to fight. Because I see some things going on in the church in the first century. This letter is applicable today, 2,000 years later, as it was in the first century. As our band comes up here, I want us to consider something from this letter. I want us to be reminded, you know, when we have communion, we remind ourselves of what Jesus said. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I want this to remind you of me. When you take the elements, this bread represents my body. As often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance, be reminded of me. In this cup, it's the new covenant. He says, that's my blood, which I shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of this cup, be reminded of me. Jude wrote this letter having another purpose in mind. I was going to write to you about this, but church, there's something bigger going on. He says, I cannot sit by and watch the invasion of the flock anymore. Church, can you? Let us pray.